Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Gino Kubal. Today, I have with me a very special returning guest, Starzy Davies. How are you doing today?
Doing really good.
Oh, awesome. I was so happy to get an email that you wanted to come back on, and like, of course. So I always give alum first dibs, so to speak. So happy to see, that you had such a cool book and some new stuff to share with us. So thank you so much for coming back today and not getting scared off the first time. I really appreciate
No, thanks for having me back.
it. Yeah, anytime,
I was not
anytime.
scared off the first time.
I had a couple people in the community. We were teasing. They were teasing me the other day. They're like, "Oh, those were hard questions." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "I'm just talking about your writing." I was like, "I'm sorry." I thought it was really funny. So they're making me self-conscious, I guess. But yeah, thank you so much for coming back. I'm really excited to talk about Storm Valor today, and to kind of get into everything. But just for our current audience, I know it's been a while, since we talked, but just for them,
Yes.
what genres do you currently write in and why?
So I originally was doing dystopian fiction. I have quite a few books in dystopian. Some sci-fi, some fantasy, but all set in the same world. And I have a historical fiction, like Asian historical fiction series. And this is a bit of a gear shift for me, diving into the realm of epic fantasy, but I've been reading it for a number of years, right? Like, I
We
can't tell you how old I am, but
always edit it out, Star. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, so it felt like a natural shift.
Oh, awesome. Well, so it's funny because I was just talking, another author and I were just discussing your historical fiction privately, and I was like, crap, I need to get that. Like when you email me, I was like, I need to get that. I bought the first one. I bought a couple of your books. I bought that one, and then that we talked about, and then I totally forgot about it and I got bogged down, and then they had just read it, so I thought that was cool. But when I said, that we were coming on, that you were coming on and we talk about epic fantasy, they're like, oh, I could see that as like a really, like easy switch for her. So I thought that that was really cool. But yeah, so I think that totally makes sense, right? Like, but I feel like you've written so much already, right? That if, I don't think it's a hard thing to switch to, I think, especially like you said, if you're reading within that genre. So, but yeah, I think that makes total sense. But what made you want to write in epic fantasy such as Storm Valor? Such a cool name, by the way.
That's it. Thank you. So I have wanted to write epic fantasy for a really long time. Actually, I created this world when I was in my early 20s,
Oh, cool.
and I could never quite get the story right, and so I
Got
never
it.
wrote it. But I always knew that I would come back to it one day, and so I'm really happy that I finally did, and I'm glad that I waited because I feel like it's much better now than it would have been if I had written it then.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that because my son's watching Moana a lot this week, and last week, and I've had this like, I don't know. I've had like a fantasy I want to do, epic fantasy I want to do, and I have so many cool ideas for it, and I've like worked on it a long time. But same thing, I'm like, I just feel like I'm not ready. So I totally get you. Yeah, I'm like, I just keep kind of adding to it and saving it for later. I'm like, one day I'll be ready and it'll be really awesome and epic. But yeah, I totally feel you there. What does it feel like for you to have? What did it feel like for you to have to be patient with this type of idea and write other things? But how did it kind of feel to kind of come back to this?
So it was kind of hard at first because I really wanted to write it, and I did take a few stabs at it back again in my early 20s when I first created this world, and I was never satisfied with them and with the story. And so I did the thing that everybody recommended, right? You just take it and you put it on a shelf for 6 months and then come back to it. Well, 6 months turned into a year, turned into several years, and it just ended up kind of sitting there, but it was always in the back of my mind. I always knew that I was going to have to come back to it someday. So here we are. It's someday.
I just think it's such great advice. I had Kelly McCullough and I talked about his Fallen Blade series. I think it was like season two. I interviewed him so a couple years ago, and I loved it. But he told me like that was like one of the first things he wrote, and it was like not really working. And then he did the same thing, and then came back years later after Web Mage was successful for him with like Ace Books and stuff. And they were like, "Oh, we want like a dark fantasy." And he's like, "Oh, I have something." Back then, right? He was like, He's like, yeah, thank God I wrote it on paper, right? He's like, I thought about shredding it, but luckily I went. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it's funny, like, because like I think like I always talk about books like Storm Valor for you and other authors and things for myself too, where like it's so funny because I have so many authors that have projects like this that they talk about. And I always tell young authors, I had a friend that I was talking about, Kelvin McCullough, with that, like got rid of. He's like, it's so horrible, no one's gonna read it. And he like burned it. And
Oh no, don't do that.
I'm like, don't, why? Why did you do? And it stresses me out to think, because I said to him, I go, Kelly and I talked about it. I told Kelly, I said, I'm so glad that you did not destroy it. I go, because his main character, like, I absolutely love, like, him and his dragon, Triss. And it, like, hit me at a time that I really needed those characters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the struggle, the main character has, he's like a veteran assassin, but like, he has a lot of like trauma and stuff. And seeing him and how he copes and reemerges himself, like, I had some health issues and stuff when I read it that time, and like had to reemerge myself. And I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I told Kelly, I'm like, it was right after that. I said, I absolutely love this character. I said, I'm so glad you did not destroy, you know, him in the world and stuff. And I just always encourage people, you know, to do what you did, you know, and just shelve it. I'm like, you can always go back to it later, you know, or it just sits there, right? And you can feel
Right.
accomplished or whatever. But I
So
think it's just smart.
my stepson, when he was young, he and I used to talk about this world all the
Oh,
time and the
cool.
characters and stuff. And so he knew a lot about the history and everything that I had already built up and some of the characters that I had already
Oh, that's
created.
cool.
A lot of things ended up changed once I finally sat down to write Stormvalor. And when he found out that I wrote the book, like he's in his 20s now, and he found out that I wrote the book, and he's like, "No way." And so he was like completely nerding out with me
Oh,
about,
that's
he's
cool.
like, "Is this character still in? And is this thing still happening? And what about this? And what?" And so he was like asking me all of these questions about things, and I was shocked by how much of it that he remembered.
Oh, that's cool.
He was so young at the time, right? And I, as a step parent, you never know how much they're really taking in of anything that you say. And so it was really cool to me to see how much he had actually retained about
That's
that
really
original
cool.
story. He remembered more than I did.
Oh, that's cool. That's really neat. I always feel my students in my own kind of like Charlie Brown, like, rah, 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 rah. So that's really awesome to know that somebody's listening to you.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really awesome though. So you got like the director's cut. I'm kind of jealous. I always love that. I always love the George Lucas where they talk about like how the characters were originally, you know, and I actually got
Yeah.
a comic about what the original storyline was supposed to be. And I always just found that fascinating. So that's really, really cool. That's awesome. Well, that's a really cool thing, I think, to be able to share with him. That's really neat.
Yeah.
But now you get to talk to us, which is my favorite question. And I just talk, like, number three is always my favorite. So what is Storm Valor about, and how did you come up with this idea?
So Stormvalor is it just dips people's toes in the world. The series is going to get much bigger. I tried to keep Stormvalor a little bit more contained so that it would be easier for people to step into the world before things explode. But it follows the three main characters for the series and how they come together and how how well or not well things end up landing between them by the end of it. Not everything is sunshine and roses. I fully believe that in my writing because life isn't like that.
Right.
And so the book kind of is just about bringing the three of them together, and it's all centered around this tournament that's the Stormvalor tournament. And it takes place in the city of Stormvalor, which is like one of the most ancient cities in the world. And it's the tournament has five competitors from each of the five different kingdoms in the realm.
Oh, cool.
And it's like that, so they're the top dogs, right? They're like the cream of the crop. And it's supposed to be just kind of like a quasi-friendly competitive thing. And it doesn't end up being quite so friendly. And it ends up being extremely competitive. So it kind of just follows the character stories, and it's all centered around this tournament as it happens. And it's a lot of fun. How I came up with the idea originally, like I said, I created this world like 20 some years ago. don't remember exactly. For this book itself, I knew that it was going to take place in this world. I knew who the main characters were already because they were already in my brain space. And it was just a matter of how I was going to bring them together, for better or worse. And so the tournament kind of, I think it sprang from my love for ancient Rome. Like, I've always been kind of fascinated with ancient Rome. And so taking a tournament that's kind of like almost gladiator style, but not fights to the death most of the time, and bringing that into the story too. So there's, I pulled a lot of different things together
That's
for
cool.
it.
So is the tournament like more of like a like updated idea for it then?
So the idea behind the tournament, how it started, is there was the god of war, whose name is Justice,
Oh, cool.
and he, this his home was supposedly in the city of Storm Valor, like when he existed. The gods are gone, they've vanished, nobody knows. Well, everybody suspects what happens to them, but nobody dares talk about it. But the tournament originally was supposed to be kind of to honor him and his fight to preserve the world, and the person who wins, you know, it only happens every 10 years, and the person who wins gets to be the Storm Valor champion. So they're like the best of the best of the best. And it's this huge honor to have this title. So that is, of course, what our main character Ethan is after. He has trained his entire life for it, and he's supposed to be one of the, he's considered one of the top contenders when everybody's kind of first talking about the tournament at the beginning.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. I always love the tournament style, like whether it's Mortal Kombat or I like I even like the Gladiator. Like I think it was I think it was like Oblivion or Morrowind where you could like go and be a gladiator in the tournament. I don't know if anybody's ever played Gladius, but for Xbox, but oh my God,
Yeah,
what a great
that
game.
sounds like my kind of game.
Like I just want to point it out to you, Star, because it is amazing. Okay. And you're like you could take you start off with like two characters, and you can do a party, or you could play two, or you could take play two player. And then when you're doing two player, it's like it splits off, and you do two and two. But it's so cool as you like collect everybody. It's like turn based, but like I don't know, for Xbox, like it was like really cool, you know. And the
That's pretty
graphics were good,
cool,
but the
yeah.
storyline was really awesome. It was not, I don't think it was Rome, but it was like a fantasy type of Rome, and it was really really cool. And it had great gameplay and stuff, but just saying, it's really neat. But it was one of my favorite games growing up, besides like Oblivion, at that time. So for me, like this is kind of like coming home, you know, story, and it's really cool because it seems really, you know, my kind of thing. And I really like how Nicholas Ames does, like the Kings of the Wild with like the bands and stuff, and like they're in the gladiator arenas and stuff with like the monsters and stuff at a certain point. So I'm like in Kings of the Wild right now, so that's like right up my alley. So you said tournament, you got me there. I'm a martial artist, done a lot of tournaments, I love them. So that's just like a trope that I absolutely love. So that's really cool. But what a cool, I think it's a cool setting though, with like how you've done it, because I don't think you see too many tournaments, you know, nowadays. I think if people kind of stopped doing them after a while, and I don't like that because I really enjoy them, and I think there's a lot of cool things you can do around them, like the D&D, like the Among Thieves movie. I thought they did a great job with their whole tournament and stuff like
Oh,
that. Yeah, I just think it provides a lot of angst that I just love in the, you know, in the genre. So I think it's really cool, but that's awesome. And in terms of, so I was just curious because I guess when you know, when you sent me the cover and stuff, I didn't really stop to think about it. I guess I was incepting one of my own ideas into like the title and stuff and the blurb. But like, so would you say that like in terms of your fantasy world, so it's more like, is it more a gladiator type arena tournament like Roman history, or is it kind of more, I guess I was thinking like Storm. I'm always thinking, I guess, like Viking or, you know, or something northern like that. But I'm kind of curious at like how you set up the tournament itself.
So
If you can tell
it's
us without
supposed to
getting
be
close.
these 25 men who are competing against each other in each of the
Oh, cool.
events.
Oh, cool.
And so it's not like gladiator fights to the death, but I'm not going to say that nobody dies. in the tournament either, because people die, and it actually becomes a big point of contention a couple of times in the book, because it's supposed to be a friendly fire thing, right? And when it turns into a not friendly fire thing, and then the game master is just like, well, it is what it is, right? And he basically like bows out of doing anything about it, and it becomes an issue. So it's not really gladiator fight to the death. They're not fighting crazy animals. They're fighting against each other in different types of events, and it's meant to test like their strength in with different weapons and their agility and their intelligence. And so if they're not just being tested when they're in the arena either. There are other events that happen where people are kind of watching how they're interacting and reacting to the things that are happening. And so they're kind of being judged based on that too, because again, originally it was about justice and strength and intelligence. So from the moment they step into the arena, they're basically being judged for everything they do, all the way up until the champion is announced.
That's cool. I'm just curious, like how, like once you decided, all right, I'm gonna do a tournament. I'm just curious, like how did you decide that you were gonna like have a game master, rules, like I don't know, like how many people were gonna be in your tournament. I'm just curious about that process for you.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure how many people I should have in it. I knew that I had to have people from each of the kingdoms so that I could kind of give readers a chance to see the different
Mark.
kingdoms and figure out, where some alignments might be and where some friction might be between some of these kingdoms. I'm not really sure why I ended up settling on five for each of them. I think I just randomly decided five seemed like a good number.
It's a good number, yeah.
Part of it, I think, was because Aethon and his best friend are both competing in the tournament, and I didn't want them to be the only two from their kingdom to be there, because I wanted to have other people there. I probably could have done three. I really don't have a good answer for why it was five, but it ended up working out in the end, I guess.
It's funny because like some of the horror people in the audience are like, yeah, you gotta, if you have 25, you gotta kill five instantly, right? Or whatever. Like, I just hear some of the people I interviewed recently tell me
Now I'm
stuff
thinking like how many of them did die, right? Like my
like
brain is trying to yeah, I'm not going to go through the list right now, but
That's awesome. But I just think it's interesting because, like I said, like it's such a cool trope, but like, I think it's such a cool trope because that's why I like thieves personally. Like, I love thieves and rogues because, like, you can take any conglomerate. You could do, sci-fi, some horror in there, right? Like Pitch Black with Vin Diesel. Like, there's just so many categories. It's never the same thing, right? It's like, it's awesome. And that's why I love tournaments because I honestly can't think of anybody that's done like a similar tournament, if that makes sense. And it's always, there's always different rules and how people bring, whether it's their world building or the people, magic or skills or weapons, it's like everything's always different. So it's that's why I went to like my first couple martial arts tournaments and for grappling, and it was like everyone was different. That wasn't helpful, but it was kind of interesting, right? And I thought of it from like a writer standpoint. I'm like, well, this would make a better story, when I tell people like, oh yeah, I went to my first one and this was how it was set up and this is how badly I did, and why. It makes a great story. Everybody laughs. I didn't at the time, but now I can. But then the other two, it's like, I don't know. I just always find it really interesting. I think that's when I consider tropes, I consider that a trope. And I consider it a positive thing. I think there's other things, whether it's Jar Jar Binks or whatever, right? Are what people consider trope. I don't really consider that. That's like kind of interesting. But I think that's more of like a negative thing. But I consider like, I like tropes. They're positive. I like things like that. Wizarding schools, whether you got Shmi Stovall's Academy Arcanus or something, like I love Harry Potter, like you name it. My friend C.S. Rapp, that's like his Lucas Hale. I'm like, I love the magic school or academy, because everybody does it differently. So I just think it's really cool to see how people set stuff up like that. And I think it gives people really cool ideas with cultural diffusion. But that's
And
really neat.
I do have an assassin. Like he is one of the main characters. So His story, I think, is going to be the most fascinating for readers. Yeah, I don't want to go into spoiler territory, but his introduction in the story is literally him carrying out one of the assassinations that he's
Oh,
been
cool.
hired to do. And he doesn't know who hires him, right? He has like this network that he has spent years building up. And so he has these brokers who broker all of the deals for him,
Oh,
but none
cool.
of them know who he is.
Oh,
He's known as Black Blade. That's his assassin handle.
that's dope.
And so when he set up this network, he goes in and talks to these people, but not as Black Blade. His brokers assume that he's the agent for
Oh,
Black Blade.
yeah. Let's see.
And every place he goes, he uses different names all the time, and so nobody has any idea who he is.
That's cool.
And he doesn't know who's hiring him to do these jobs. He really doesn't care as long as he gets paid in the end.
Yeah.
And so when his first job had extremely specific directions on how he was supposed to carry it out, how long he had to wait for his payment, and what would happen if anyone found out that he was directly involved before a certain period of time lapsed, right? So there was like all these very specific rules that he was like, all right, whatever, this is easy. He didn't really care. He's like, just pay me, I don't care. But then when he goes to collect his payment from his broker, he finds his broker dead. And so he's and he ends up basically caught in a trap.
Oh, that's cool.
And which puts him on his path towards Stormvalor. They're like, we'll pay you. We know who you are now, right? Like, this person has figured out who he is. And they're like, we'll pay you for this. But if you don't want everyone to know who you are, then you have to go do this. And so he's kind of like trapped in this because he's like, at first, he's like, his instinct is, well, okay, I'll just kill this guy, right? Like, no big deal. But then the guy is like, you don't know who I really am, right? Like, he's like, you think you know who I am, but you don't know who I am. And I have people who are prepared to spread this information if anything happens to me. And so he ends up trapped. And so that's what sends him to Stormvalor's. He's got to go there to complete this mission so that he can secure his name again.
That's cool. That's awesome. Well, you said assassins, so you had me there. I think we also star found a great secondary career for you between Stormvalor or Blackblade. You could just name things for people. Like instead of me having to go on to fantasy, whatever it is, like name generator, I can just pay you to come up with names. Because they're both really cool. Really sad that I didn't think of Blackblade. That's awesome. But that's awesome. But that's really cool. I think that that's such a, but again, that's why I like the assassin trope or rogue or whatever, because it's like everybody does something different, and it's like it's always intriguing and it's fun, right? Because you took something that's I think is a basic fantasy trope, but you made it so unique. So I think it's just a great example of how to do things to engage your reader. Because I am your audience with a title known as Storm Valor, and then Tournament Assassin. I'm there. So I think that's really cool. But I think that's just a really good way to think about. I've just been talking about tropes a lot lately because I've had a lot of people send me private, questions and stuff like that. I'm like, well, you should go look at this person's podcast, or I'm like, Star and I talked about this, or things like that. So I think it's really, really important, I think, for people that are coming on, to think about it in their own writing. So think
Right.
about doing that, guys, and name things better, like Star, because people will buy your stuff. All right.
Well, okay, so Black Blade is he got his name because he literally all of his blades are black. And he's
So cool.
there's a special significance behind that that even he doesn't understand yet. He'll figure it out
That's
eventually.
awesome. That's super cool.
But yeah, so everybody just knows him as Black Blade. There's actually one scene where he's sitting in a tavern and he's just chilling, right? Like, it's his night off and he's just an ordinary person chilling in the tavern having drinks, and a musician comes in and starts singing songs and the crowd is all into it, And he kind of is spacing out in his own thoughts, and then he's pulled out of it by one of the songs, and it's a song about him.
Oh,
And
that's cool.
he's like, no, I'm done. I'm out. I'm like, he's like, it's one thing to be known as Black Blade. It's another thing to listen to people sing stupid songs about you, right? Like,
That's really cool. That's awesome. I hope he has words for that bard. But this guy, that was a perfect question. I think an answer or answer to the question, because then you're kind of already getting to my next one. Is like, what were some of the most critical aspects of the world building for this novel for you?
So the history is gonna play a huge part in there's talk about a war that happened 1,000 years ago, and people keep referring to it, the War of Two Crowns, constantly. And it's gonna play a significant role in the series as the series goes on, kind of unraveling some of the secrets and the truths and everything that happened in that war. So when it came to the world building, and it was really important to me that I had some of that information just nailed down, right? Like it, 'cause it has to be layered in nicely throughout the books for things to come together the way that they needed to.
Super cool. Another cool name for a war. That
There were a lot more than two crowns involved, too, by the
makes it even better. Like, because like that's my student. I had a student coach the other day. He goes, "I'm just upset." I go, "He's in World Civilizations 2," and I go, "Okay." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Well, the Hundred Years' War wasn't even 100 years." I'm like, "Why are you upset by that?" He goes, "It doesn't make any
doesn't
sense."
make sense. That sounds like something my son would say, honestly.
Oh my God, I was dying. And I started thinking about it. I was like, it really is really weird. And he's like, is it like 89 years? And I think we did the math. And he goes, they weren't even close. So I think that was like, I think personally, that's what makes it a really
There's a
good
lot more
name.
than two crowns involved.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it.
That's super cool. I'm just curious, like, in terms, I always love that too, like when a war, previous war. Like, because that's just, I teach history, right? That's an enduring issue, right? Like, look at war in Ukraine and Russia right now, like previous war, right? I had a friend, her and I were discussing that recently. He's like, what are just some historical things that you're always looking at? And I'm like, that's one. I'm like, what are the after effects? I'm like, people do so many things, right? They
Right.
decide how to live or, spend their money or their infrastructure or whatever. I'm like, that has a direct result. I said, so to me, it makes total sense to do that, whether it's sci-fi, fantasy, or whatever you're writing, in terms of these fun genres. So I think that, I don't know, to me, and it's like you just get so many cool, again, it's a perfect recipe, right? You get so many cool things out of it. But I like that you said that, though, because to me, I'm thinking like I'm putting my brain together with it. I'm thinking, oh, this is really cool if you have all these people coming from these different areas and they got a lot of beef, right, from this war. So to me, I'm like, hey, can't wait to see everything, all the all the fuel hit the
The
flame.
basic structure for the realm itself is that there's the emperor who has been ruling since that war, the War of
Oh,
Two
okay.
Crowns. He spoiler, he won. So obviously, so he took over everything, but there's still five kingdoms. So each of those kingdoms has their own ruler who still has to is still reporting to the emperor. They still have to answer to him, but otherwise they have basic autonomy. They get to rule their own kingdom, but the emperor has ambassadors in each of the kingdoms that live in the palaces with the royal families and basically make sure that the emperor's best interests are preserved. So, which of course becomes sticky situation. Especially for Aslan, that's kind of the thing that kicks off her story is she's the heir to her kingdom, and she's like 20, and she's been putting off marriage, and her parents have kind of let it slide, and her dad is starting to get concerned that the emperor's ambassador is trying to trick her into marriage,
Oh.
and he's like, this can't happen. You have to go find a husband and you have to do it now. And so he's like, go to the tournament, is going to be, this is the cream of the crop, right? Like you can go and pick the finest and come back with a husband. And so that's kind of like her mission while she's there. So she's kind of speed dating, I guess, throughout the book, which is how her and Ethan end up meeting. And he is like in love with somebody else. And before he even leaves to go to the tournament, he's already in love. He's already decided what he's going to do and who he's going to marry. And he's already planned out his entire life. Everything is set for him. All he has to do is win the tournament. And obviously, nothing goes to plan for him because why would it? But he flat out tells her from the very beginning, because their parents are pushing them towards each other because she's the heir to her kingdom and he's the nephew of the king of another powerful kingdom. And so they're like, this just makes sense, right? Like, just. And so their parents are pushing them together. And so they kind of do this fake dating thing during the tournament because his dad won't let it go. His dad is constantly on him about it. And so she's like, well, we'll keep him off your back. You know, we'll make some appearances together, make it look like there's interest. And then when you win the tournament, you can choose whoever you want and it won't matter, right? So that's their game plan. Yeah, n nothing goes to plan.
That's awesome. I was when you were saying that where he has this plan, I was like, and that's usually when life like hits you flat on your back. And then your
Which
plan
is
falls to
exactly what
ground.
it does to him, yes.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it happen to somebody else this time, you know? That's really awesome. That's super cool. But I like how you like that's like I was talking to a friend of mine and we were discussing this is like so let's just say, right, like I don't know, he was having an issue where like if it was your story, this story, he had all of his every single one of his characters was in the tournament. And I said to him, I was like, I think that's your problem. And everybody a lot of them were it was like speaking of five, right? Like let's just say like there were five reasons people were there. And I was just like, it just feels kind of flat. You know, I said, because it's just kind of whatever. So, but I really like that, you know, that she's there for, you know, a different reason. And I think even if let's just say she did fight or whatever, but still there for a different reason. So I was trying to explain to him, I was like, that's how you could, you know, make a character more unique, you know, just in that circumstance. So, and I've had a couple situations myself recently where I've been trying to, you know, to help myself and my characters out a little bit too, right? It's like, why is this person here? You know, like I don't want it to be cookie cutter is how I was feeling. I was doing things for a little bit. So I think that's a great, you know, a great example of, you know, different motivations, right? But everybody's still interacting. So I think that's a just a really good example.
It
That's
was
really cool.
really interesting too. Like as I was writing, you know, I had all these 25 people and they all have names. Like I've got a chart here. And so for different events, I have who is facing who against
Smart.
and who wins in each of these like things, right? So like the sword fighting tournament, who is fighting against who and who wins that one to advance to the next round, and then who's fighting who. And I had everything all laid out. So everybody had to have names so that I could keep everything straight.
That's great.
And I was like, most of these people don't matter, right? Like most of them are just kind of chaff for the tournament and they don't have a huge part. But there were a few of them that surprised me. Like I'm like, why are you becoming such a character, right? Like you're supposed to be in the background and now you're kind of coming. There's several of them that end up after the tournament ends and into the second book that they end up joining up with Ethan on his quest.
Oh,
Right.
cool.
So he ends up making a lot of new friends from different kingdoms. And it was kind of cool actually to see some of these characters who were supposed to be just kind of hidden behind everything else come out of their shells and actually become part of the story.
That's cool. I have one, she just will not listen. And then I have her friend who's like, yeah, I'm not. And I was like, she's like, yeah, I'm doing this, this, and this. And then in the second book and third book, I'm like, are you really? I'm like, well, tell me more. And then I'm like, okay, that's a better idea. And then her friend was like, yeah, I am not like a noble constable. I am a lower house thief taker. That's why I'm here. And that's why I that's like my motivation. Otherwise, my house will fall and I'm like almost destitute. And I'm like, Are you like, I was really upset with him because I was like, just do what you're told. But then I said to my best friend, I was like, so this is what this character is telling me. He goes, I'm sorry. He goes, he's right though. He's like, that's a much better character. When I told him what she said, he was like, oh, he's like, you have to rewrite the entire draft again. I was like, I'm going to, but with your POV. But I was like, it was much better though. I was like, oh, I was like, okay. So I guess we have to listen to them when they talk,
Yeah,
right?
that is
Like,
hard. I had my beta readers, when they read Storm Valor and they sent their notes back, and I would say probably about half of them were not happy with the ending. They had a different idea of how they thought the book was supposed to end.
Okay.
And it was strange to me because they were all very similar, right? And these are all people who don't know each other. They're, and so, and they don't see what anyone else is saying. And so I thought it was really strange. And so I started kind of exploring the ideas, and I did end up with a whole new ending for the book. And I think it ended up better, especially for Aethon's story, because the way that it had ended would have kind of locked him in place. And he needed the freedom to be able to move. There were places he needed to go in the next book. And the ending I had originally written wouldn't have allowed that to happen. So yeah.
I think that makes total sense. As the great H.L. Tinsley told me, as one of my alpha readers, when everybody has the same feedback, that's good for you, Dan. So, like, that is.
Even if it's hard to digest, it is good, I guess.
I had a huge pill to swallow. So I've been still trying to fix it and stuff. It's been very difficult, but I've definitely made me better, definitely expanded, a lot of things. Not fun always, but by the end I'll be, same. I feel like I'll be much happier with the outcome. But what something you said though is kind of sticky with me though. I just want to say is if people have not checked out like Bernard Cornwell's, particularly like like The Last Kingdom, there were so many characters, even in the TV show, that were from the books that were secondary characters, really. But then they become like Uhtred's band, and oh my gosh, I'm so glad that. I'm so glad to hear you say that, right? That these characters, they like change their trajectory, so to speak, right? And I'm happy to hear that that's affecting, main characters too. Because when you say that, I'm like, I think of Bernard Cornwell's, and I'm like, oh my God, I love Uhtred and his band. Like, they just are so tight knit. The books are actually, I think they're better presented even than the show. The show did a great job though, but like, that makes me really excited because I loved that type of feeling, and that's how I feel about, my buddies and stuff and my friends. And I think if we're in a fantasy setting, it makes total sense to, to do that. So I don't know, that to me, that just stuck out to me. Cause I'm like, oh, that's super cool. Cause
And
to me,
it
that.
does happen a lot too. Like if you think about it, like I've been rewatching Game of Thrones, and there's a lot of like in the first season, there's kind of a lot of side characters that you get introduced to who end up having their own scenes and their own storylines in as the show goes on, right? So some of those background people who we think aren't important can be pretty important.
Well, I mean, not to make anybody cry on a, an afternoon in the middle of April or May or whatever we're doing at this point. But but like Hodor, like if you had told me that I was gonna get so emotional during that. My friend and I like stopped the like watching the
That's
this
right about where I'm at right now in the rewatch is I'm getting close to that. I don't know how many episodes away I am, but I'm getting there because Bran is in the cave, so.
Well, even some of the secondary people from the show, right, that were in the book, that were gone a long time in the books, right, but then they extended in the show. I think that's where I was like kind of interested more, is to kind of see even the differences at times. And I'm not so interested now to see the differences in the Wheel of Time, but I was watching quite a bit just to see that. But they
I'm
had some
struggling with
secondary.
that one right now. I'm trying to. So what my husband says every time we get to the end of an episode, he just says, it's another turning of the wheel, right? That's his response to everything that they
That's a
change in
great
the show. He's like, it's another turning of the wheel. And I'm like, if that's what you got to tell yourself to be able to sleep at night.
That's amazing. I love that. Well, I loved like the I love who they got to play Lan, but then I'm not enjoying a lot of the things. But I just like I but you know what I'm doing? My friend and I, we've decided that we are gonna watch this season, right? And season three, because I liked season two. as a show, not necessarily as real time, but like I thought they did a good job of that. Like it was, a better show. I'll never forgive them for destroying one of the characters that I loved who makes it all the way through the series. But that I can't forgive them for that because that was one of my favorite characters of all time. But yeah, but I mean,
I
I've
know
had
exactly what
a
you're talking about. I was
yeah.
mad
But
and I looked at my husband and I was like, dude, if this is legit, I am done. I'm done. I was
I really
like,
thought with like the
yeah.
Foreigner or something that they were gonna do something, but yeah. So yeah, I tried
Anyway.
for a little bit, but we decided we were gonna do it. We're gonna do it, but then we're gonna use it as a lesson, and we're gonna come back and talk about what not to do with do it. You know what I mean? Like just to use it
Right.
for writing experience. But I've been piecemealing because I can't ever since that yeah that episode. I'm like, ugh! And then yeah, I feel like more and more things. I'm just like, were you guys just not paying attention at all? Like, because I was so excited when I saw that they were all reading Eye of the World and everything, and they put that all on Twitter. I was like, well, you're like some of my students. You didn't pay attention well enough for it, I think. But yeah, but I do like that. Like you said, like Game of Thrones. Like, there's a lot of like my friend and I were talking about that with the TV show. Like, there are a lot of secondary characters that end up being popular for them, right? That they decided that they died early, but they were going to keep them. But I do think that they even did a good job in the show, though, of keeping those characters going. So I think it's it's an important lesson to learn. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I think it's important, right, to let those characters go. Like I said, I had a secondary character that it's now turning into a main character. But kind of like you said, like I'm using the first book in that series trilogy to kind of do things, and then they're going to be in one city, and then everybody, and it's not a happy ending, like not at all. But it'd be cool because they'll set up everything for the end, and I got some cool arcs going and stuff. But yeah, but I think you need to listen to. I think it's a great lesson for audiences that sometimes you just need to let those characters go. You can always rewriting it later, right? But you never know where
Right.
it leads you. And there's some. It's your brain ultimately, right? So your brain wants to do something, whether it's subconsciously or not. I think a lot of times it's trying to help you.
There was a moment when I was writing the second book, and I'm not going to talk too much about the second book, but it's done.
Oh, cool.
It's with my beta readers. And it'll be with my editor very soon.
Awesome.
But there was a point in it where Bast is he's rescuing magic users who have been basically taken prisoner and by the Emperor's blackguards, and they're taking them to the Citadel, which is where these people vanish, right? The people who go into the Citadel are never seen again. And so he's trying to stop as many of these magic users from going in as he can. And one of the times he does this rescue, some of the people who pile out are like young 20 something guys, right? And they're like, they see him, they can't see his face, but because he's all in all of his gear and everything, and they figure out who he is and they want to help him, right? Like they instant idol worship the second they realize who he is. And he's like, just run, right? Because he can hear the reinforcements coming and he's like, get the hell out of here. What are you doing? Right? Like go. And so they do, but as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, this is gonna come back to him. It's gonna come back to him in a big way later in the series. I already see it happening that, you rescue these people who have instant idol worship and they have magic, and now they know how to stay away from the Emperor's men because of what you just did. Yeah, that's gonna come back. And
Cool.
it's gonna play into him. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun when it happens. I'm not really sure exactly what book it's gonna fall into, but I can't wait.
That's awesome. That's why I always love like Dresden Files, is there's so many again secondary characters from earlier. I think he does it. Him and Patricia Briggs both do such a great job of bringing back smaller or secondary characters or little things and then using them for whole books later and really like tight knitting and just th making things tighter. With world building or between characters later. So I love stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool that that's happening later. So that's like the geek in me. I love being able
Yeah, I love that too.
I always call it fan nods, You're like, hey, if you've been with me for this long, like, here you go.
Yeah,
So,
we call it fan service in our house that
oh, I
like
like
that's
that.
fan service.
That's super cool. That's awesome. So I'm just curious, like, in terms of like fantasy tropes or just characters, like, who can we, expect for like your cast of characters, for like a movie trailer in this thing at the start here in terms of book one.
So Ethan, I mean, Ethan is he's going to be the big guy. By as the series goes on, his story is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So he would be, you know, the central character in a book trailer that or a movie trailer or whatever, you know, that it would be him first.
Oh, cool. Do you have so we know there's like you said, you had, at least 25, members of the tournament and stuff. Are most of your cast of characters going to be in the tournament? I would assume that they're also going to be like, what do you call it? Not second, but others, like around the tournament. They're all going to like be there though, right?
Yeah, there's external forces at play too. You know, there's Aslan's younger brother, he's only like a year younger than her. He's not a lot younger. He is not at the tournament, but you do meet him at the beginning of the book,
Oh, cool.
and he's an important character. And you know, Aslan's mom is there with her, so you get to kind of see how she and her mom interact with each other outside of the events. And you know, Ethan's dad is there, and his sister also is there. The Emperor's heir shows up,
Oh,
and
cool.
that's a lot of fun. And there's a couple other competitors whose parents show up, and kind of
Oh,
so
cool.
there's other like outside pressures that are kind of pushing in on these characters as the story goes on.
Well, that's awesome. I was just curious because I think that just knowing that, you're like, okay, you can kind of. It's always hard to ask that question, I think, without spoiling things,
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I tried really hard not to. So even just saying that the Emperor's heir shows up is kind of a little bit of a spoiler.
That's really cool. That piques my interest. So I'll forget by the time I get to the book because I'm just a dad. But yeah. But then I'll be like, oh, this is really cool. That'll get me into it like right away. So that's super cool. I was like trying to figure out how to word that a while back for somebody else. I was like, how do I not? And before we got going, they were like, can we word this differently? I'm like, that's totally fine. I was like, just curious. Like give him a nibble or something. I was like, that's totally fine. I was like, don't want to spoil anything. But yeah. But I think that's really cool. But it's even interesting though that you have like the parents and things too. To me, like I wouldn't have thought of that. So as a writer, I'm like, oh, that makes me think of things a little bit differently. So I think that that's a really cool move that you did there. So I think that's really neat. I love this question. My friend gave it to me a while back, so I'm trying to ask people periodically. What was the hardest aspect when it came to writing this novel compared to the others that you've written?
I guess layering in the world building, right? That's
A good one.
because you don't want to just dump things on people, but you want them to feel it and experience it and see it as they're reading. Because I don't want them to follow just the characters. I want them to understand the world because it's going to be important. You know, the deeper we get into the series, all of these things that are brought up in this first book are going to be important. So finding a way to layer those things in as naturally and sometimes subtly as possible, that was probably the biggest challenge for me.
That's a good answer. I always find that the most difficult. I love writing fantasy. I think it's the easiest for me to write because I've read so much of it and I enjoy it. And I think I find it harder to write real world stuff like my urban fantasy, writing
Yeah, me
like the
too.
military stuff. Yeah, it's like more dystopian or sci-fi. Like sci-fi I think is a little easier, because I could make more fantastical things up, but the more real world stuff, it's difficult. I agree with you. It's hard, I think, to layer things like that. I think in general, but I also think in fantasy it's a little harder because you just want to info dump at times or too much. It's just I think it's like a yeah, it's just inherent.
So when we get to new places, like I try to limit myself to no more than one or two paragraphs, and those paragraphs can't be really long either, right?
Oh,
Like,
that's a good rule. Yeah.
you know, no more than like 4 or 5 sentences max per paragraph to kind of give people the visual of this place and the feel of the place.
Oh, that's a really good rule. I've actually been studying while I've been reading like Nicholas Ames and some other people, that I like in terms of how they, have layered their world building. I've been really trying to focus with a friend of mine, like what their strategy has been, like how like you said, like how long are their paragraphs where they're just talking about a thing or a character's thinking, or even like I tend to now I've been doing too much, I think, conversation. Between, I'm like, oh, we can put in
I
dialogue.
always feel
Nope.
like that too. Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, nope. Why would we be talking about that? I'm like, they live in this world. Like, they would not be talking about this for 2 pages or a page or whatever. So yeah, but I think that's really good. It's a good rule. I'm gonna try and start thinking about that a little bit more. What has your greatest accomplishment been for you with this new book?
Writing it. I honestly, I mean, it's already won a couple awards,
Oh,
which
awesome.
feels really good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it won an award for the best cover too. So,
Oh,
nod
awesome.
to my artist. She did a
It is really
fantastic
cool.
job. And so I am, just getting it done, being that I created this world when I was in my early 20s and it just sat
Super
around
cool.
for so long,
Yeah.
finally finishing it was a huge accomplishment for
You're
me.
giving me hope, Star. You're giving me hope.
Hold on to that hope and just don't let go.
That's really awesome. I love the cover, by the way. When you sent it to me, I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll interview. And then I got to the cover, I was like, holy crap. I was like, this is really cool. I love the title, love the cover. Blurb was really awesome. So those are always my checklists. I was like, yep, definitely reading that. But yeah, I think that you're totally right, about that. It's just I cannot wait to finish my novella. It's taking me longer to finish this novella than it did for my first two books. Granted, they're not fully done yet because I'm redrafting and stuff, but like just even the first draft, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, I'm on my fifth draft right now. So I will be celebrating very heartily when I finish. I'm about a draft and a half away right now. So I kudos. I totally understand that sentiment. So that's awesome. I know we're winding down on time here. Just want to make sure we get to that last one though. So do you have any news, updates, current projects, anything like that that you can share with us?
I always have far too many irons in the fire at one
Which I
time.
always like.
So I have, Storm Valor, obviously, which is coming out on June 9th. And the second book is going to be, I already mentioned, is already drafted and it's going to be with my editor soon. And the cover artist is going to be getting the cover art to me pretty soon.
Oh,
So
cool.
I'm gonna shortly after Storm Valor comes out, I'm gonna be doing like a cover and title reveal for the second book,
Awesome.
just to let people see that, it's not gonna be too terribly far behind.
Oh, cool. And feel free to send that to me when you do that, and I will put it everywhere too. That way people know. So.
And I'm gonna be running a Kickstarter campaign for the second book, just like I did for the first
Oh, cool.
one, like a special edition with artwork and I'm hoping to get some dragon art in the second
Oh,
book.
awesome.
So we'll see. It depends on how well the campaign does. And I have a bunch of events lined up for the
Oh, cool.
release of Storm Valor. And I'm going to be in Green Bay on Green Bay, Wisconsin, I guess I should maybe say. I don't know.
I'm
I don't know how many Green Bays there are in the world, but
from Michigan, so I assume Wisconsin. I
So I'm
guess
going to
that's
be in
my
Green
fault,
Bay
but.
June 13th through the 15th
Okay.
for a book event called Pack in the Readers. And there's like
Oh,
over 100 authors and
that's awesome.
influencers and artists and it's all book themed. And there's going to be like a fantasy ball and I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going
Sounds
to be a
awesome. That's super cool. Well, that's awesome. I just want to remind people that you can find actually Star in my first interview in the description below, as well as all of Star's book and social links. So make sure you guys definitely go there on the description for all of that, whether you're watching this podcast or listening on one of our like 100 audio outlets now. Thank you, RSS.com. But all of Star's information can be found right there. You guys got to check the cover out for Storm Valor. Super awesome. So the link will be in there as well. Star, thank you so much for coming on again. This has been awesome. I always love seeing how you answer questions. It's just people always ask me, like, why do you interview so many different people? Like, everybody has something different to say. So I always get something different out of it.
I mean,
So,
we're all different people, so.
I'm like, do I really have to answer that question? I'm like, Star's books are very different than Herman's or anybody else, like, pick a
Yeah,
person.
they
I'm like,
are
yeah,
definitely
it's
very
crazy.
different. I love
Even
his
in the same
books.
genre, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm always learning something new from people. It's the only reason I do these interviews. I mean, I love helping people, but at the end of the day, I got to be doing something up here, but I learned a lot today, and you had me thinking a lot before I get to my writing session later on this evening after I put my son to bed. So I really appreciate that. But if you need anything else, per usual, My TikTok got banned when the everything, so I don't have TikTok anymore. I've been trying to get back on it or get it back up again, or I guess it wasn't banned, but everybody was banned or whatever. So I'm not on there, but feel free to email me or get a hold of me on Facebook or any of my social medias, and I'll be more than happy to put anything up for you for your Kickstarters or events or book covers, whatever you want. You just send it to me and we will get it out on all of our other social media platforms that are still there. By hopefully by the summer I will be sane again and I can get back to my newsletter list. My job has been taking a lot of a lot of time lately, but I'm hoping to get back on that train. I had January, and then that was all I was able to do. But I've still been putting a lot of stuff up for people. So you just let me know, and we will get it out there. There's always our podcast on Facebook too, if you want to join that or just send it to me. I post a lot of stuff for people on there. But I really wish you good luck for Storm Valor. Like I said, people, this is going to be out really soon. So and then Star's release date, like she says, June 9th for the book. So not long after this podcast has been out. So please make sure you take a look at the release there in the description. But Star, if there's anything else we can do for you, per usual, just email me, let me know, and we will get it done for you.
All right. Thank you.
Perfect. We have a good rest of the day, and I will see you later.
All
Thank
right.
you. Bye.
Bye.